have together, and God, that you've brought us here and you've blessed us, and that you give us this opportunity. And God, we just don't want to take it for granted, and we don't want to let it go past. And God, before we start as well, I just want to lift up Dave Whalen in prayer, and all the Whalens, God, and just pray that you would just be with them. God, thank you for his incredible life, his incredible example, his incredible faithfulness, and the heritage that he has built and left for your kingdom and your church, God. And I just thank you for him and for his family, and just pray that you would just be with all of them in this time, God. And while it's hard, God, that you would give them peace and knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross, and that means that Dave's in heaven with you right now. God, we just thank you so much for that, and just pray that you would just be with them. Amen. I was blown away. I got here, in time for practice and everything, and guess who the first people at church were tonight? All the Whalens. And I was just like, man, they're good people. Amen. That's right. All right. So tonight, my message, I'm going to talk a little bit about real estate development in a down economy. You can write that. You don't have to write that. That's kind of not really what I'm talking about, but maybe a little bit. I want to talk about and around a passage in Jeremiah. It's in Jeremiah 32. So if you've got your Bible tonight, then you can open it up and you can look it up in this spot, because I'm going to spend the whole night there. This passage and this story in Jeremiah 32 is about Jeremiah buying a field. Sounds good, yeah? And the reason that I say it's about a down economy is because basically what happens is Israel, all of the Israelites are being overrun by the Babylonians, and they're going to be killed off, and they're going to be taken into slavery and all of this stuff. And God tells Jeremiah to buy a field. And I just thought it was strange. And I shared a little passage from this on Sunday night. We were talking about just vision for youth and for young adults, and so I shared a little bit about this, but I wanted to talk about this whole story tonight, because I really feel like God's got stuff to say to us from it, and there's a lot that I think, that Jeremiah gets and that he does that I was just really struck me this week as I was preparing and I was reading this passage and just thinking about this. So yeah, tonight I'm going to talk about buying a field. You with me tonight, everyone here? Glad that you're here. It is good. I think we need to be people who will invest and will take ownership based on what God says to us and not what the circumstances look like. Jeremiah in this situation is looking at his whole country being overtaken and everything being taken away and everybody being killed off because the Israelites have been disobedient. But God says, buy a field, invest, do something. It seems ridiculous. If there was a block of land vacant and someone said, okay, you can buy that, but in a few years, the whole place is going, it's going to be a war zone. Would that be a good investment? Yes, everyone, yes, I would. No, it's crazy. But God tells him to do it and he does it, and it's awesome. And so really, I want to talk about just ownership, and I just felt like God just had this thing for us, just of a new level of ownership and a new sense of ownership, that he's got these incredible promises for us and for our church and for our city, and he wants us to take hold of them and buy into them, because I think sometimes we want to wait until we see everything finish before we buy into the vision. Yeah, but you don't get to the finish if you don't buy into the vision at the start. And Jeremiah says, God says to Jeremiah, he says, buy this field, because his promise is that one day he will gather all of his people back together and they will inherit the land, they will live in the land, they will have favor, they will have blessing. And so this field that Jeremiah is buying is like a prophecy and a promise for the future. And I think stuff happens in our life, and God has these amazing promises for our church and for each of us in our lives, but they sometimes can seem a long way off. And so we don't buy into them, but now is the time to invest into those promises. Now is the time to buy the field. Yeah, no, let's own the promise and not wait for the product. I was reading this thing a while back, and it talked about the definition between a man and a boy, and it said that a boy consumes and a man creates. And I thought that was really interesting. It was You know, when you're a kid, when you're little, then you just consume. You know, people provide for you and you do whatever and you grow. But when you grow up, then you have to create, you have to contribute, you have to do something. And I think that that's like where we are, like as people who are here as the core of the church, we're here to contribute, to create, to build. You know, like this is house builders, not house sitters. So we're not here just because like we want to hang out, but because we want to build the kingdom of God. We want to build the house of God. Amen. And so I guess tonight I just want to talk about how we can buy the field when everything looks bad. Now, Jeremiah, before everybody else, he buys the field and he trusts in God's word and he trusts in his promise. And he wasn't going to see the fruit of that for a long time. But he does it because God tells him to. And he's faithful to that, yeah? And so my question tonight is, what's the field that you should be buying? Maybe it's a ministry area. Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's your workplace. I don't know. But I just felt like God had just like fields for us. Does everyone understand what I mean? I'm not talking about a literal field, but places where God really wants us to take ownership so that he can move. Where God's like, I've got a promise for you. I've got a place for you, but you need to own it now so that I can move for the future. Amen. So I think like we need to trust God. Now God really, really clearly speaks to Jeremiah and Jeremiah just responds to him. And I think that's fantastic. It's in Jeremiah 32 in verse 6. And it says, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. Then just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the garden and said, buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, since it's your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself. And it says, I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I just think it's really simple and great that Jeremiah just says, I knew that it was the word of the Lord, and so I bought the field. And I think that's really simple, and I think we need to be people that, you know, we don't look at this knowledge that things might go wrong or things don't look great, but that we hear the word of God, and because God tells us to do something, we do it. It's really simple, but he just says, you know, I knew it was God, and so because it was God, I bought the field. Amen. And I think there are things in our lives that, you know, we need to just hear from God on and not look at the circumstance, not look at what we think is going well or looks good or looks shiny or whatever. But look at what God is saying to us, because God is saying, buy the field, get in, take ownership, yeah? And I think we can be really quick to listen to the advice of the world, you know. It's bad economically or something, and so, you know, the world says, don't do it, don't get too involved, don't give more. And like, you don't know how secure your job is, you don't know what's going on, don't invest in that, because you've got to look after yourself. But God says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. He says that if you would trust in him, that he will make your path straight, that he will provide all of your needs, yeah? The word of God says, buy in, buy the field, yeah? Get in there and do it. You know, in verse 24 and 20 to 27, I want to read it. If you've got your Bible, I'm serious, open it up so you can read this, because the whole chapter is kind of good. Jeremiah is talking to God, and God is talking to him about what's going to happen. And he says, see how the siege ramps are built up to take the city. So the city is like Jerusalem. It's under siege. It says, because of the sword, famine, and plague, the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you said has happened, as you now see. And though the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians, you, sovereign Lord, say to me, buy the field with silver and have the transaction witnessed. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He said, I am the Lord, the God of the whole human race. Is anything too hard for me? I love that. Jeremiah says to God, like, the siege towers are literally right there. They're taking the whole thing, and you say, buy the field. And God just turns around and says, I created everything. I created the whole entire universe and the whole human race. Is anything too hard for me? So go and buy the field. Like, it's a no-brainer. I think we are so quick to listen to everybody else but God. But God says, I created the whole human race. Is there anything that's too hard for me? No, we need to learn to trust God. We need to learn that He knows what He's doing, that He will have His way, that we don't need to worry about like what looks like it might be bad, but we need to get into what God is trying to say to us, amen? We need to get into His way. You know, honestly, God is going to have His way either way. And so you might as well, you know, be on the same page and stick with Him, amen? You know, it says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. You know, I think Jeremiah understands this, and he sees the Babylonians and, you know, literally their chariots and their horses and their siege towers, and they trust in that, but he trusts in the Lord. And because of that, he knows that he will stand firm, that he will rise up. Amen. And it's this word for Jeremiah is the same word for us. I honestly believe that. It's the same word for us today. You know, it says it in verse 37 of Jeremiah 32, and this is a bit that I shared on Sunday night. God says to Jeremiah, and he says to Israel, he says, I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so they will always fear me, and that all will go well with them, for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. And this is the promise of God to our life. This is the word of God. We don't have to worry about what things might look like, or you know, the circumstances don't look good, and that maybe we feel like now is not the right time to sow in or to buy in or to go in deeper. But God's saying, trust me, you know, I want to do something. I want to give you an everlasting covenant. I want to never stop doing good to you, yeah? You know, I want to plant you into this land, and I will do it with all my heart and with all my soul, you know? This is what God's saying to us, amen? And we need to trust Him, and we need to listen to Him, and let's do what God says. It's a good thing. But I think we need to understand that, like, buying a field is a promise. It's not an end result. Now, we've been talking a lot about the building fund, and you know, there's obvious connections there. Buying a field, but like I think we need to understand that it's more about the promise and the faith than it is about the physical block of land. You know, like we could get to the end of the year or the end of however long it takes to get some land and to start building a building or to have a building, and you know, we could have a big, you know, service, and I'm sure we will, like first day in the new church, and it's going to be really exciting. But that's not the end of the plan. Like, it's the beginning of the plan. And I think we can go like, oh, well, I can see like the field and that looks good. And so then that's, I'm done now. Thank you, God. That was great. I'm happy that I was a part of that. And yay, hallelujah. Here we are. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not the end result, yeah? And I think that Jeremiah understood that he wasn't buying a field, but that he was buying a promise. You know, and when he sees this field, you know, he knows he's not going to get profit. He's not going to be able to get fruit off that land for a long time because the whole country is about to be taken over by the Israelites. But he knows that it's a promise from God that at some point he will be able to come back and build on that land and use that field and get fruit from that. Amen. And I think that's what we need to get. We need to get that, you know, God wants us to own things, and he wants us to step into things and buy into things and not necessarily look at how they look right now. But to look at the promise that he has for that, yeah? You know, you can trust the promises of God. You know, it says in Psalm 145 that your kingdom, God's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. You know, God's promises are faithful and true, and he never backs down, you know, they never fail. So this promise was not just about Jeremiah's field. It wasn't like, you know, buy that field, Jeremiah, I think it's a good investment. But it's about God's people being planted in the land that God had given them. You know, like, Jeremiah's courage and his faith to buy that block of land, to buy that field, that was about like saying, all right, here's a stake in the ground for all of God's people, that we would all come back to this point and that we would fill the land that God has given us, yeah? You know, I was thinking about like our youth ministry and right now, like the field kind of maybe looks a bit small. You know, things have changed. It's going well, but you know, it looks like it might be a while before maybe you see some like crazy awesome stuff that, you know, other people would look at and think is fruit, yeah? But God has a plan for those young people. He has a plan for our youth ministry. He has a plan for the people that he has put there. And there is exciting times ahead. And so you buy into the promise of that. You're not buying just what you're looking at right now, but you're buying the promise. And that is so valuable. Yeah, and it's not even about, you know, what a youth ministry could be. It's about what God can do in people and taking ownership in that and taking ownership for that and saying, you know, I'm going to buy the field right now so that that guy who's 13, 14 now in 10 years' time is leading that youth ministry, is planting a church, is building the kingdom of God, amen? And so then what I have bought is not just, you know, a little plot of land, but, you know, a part in somebody's future, a part in the kingdom of God, amen? You know, the church building is not the end result, but it's the promise. And the effort to literally buy a field isn't just so that we would have a nice building, but that we would have a promise for the future, that we'd be planted in this city, that we would have ownership, that we would put down roots, that we would be in the land that God has given us, and we would have ownership in it. Because that's a powerful thing. You know, I think we just buy the field sometimes and we stop there. But we need to understand that it's about the promise of God, not just about the field. And when we do it, we show God that we trust him and that we care. You know, I don't want to just work at my work. I want to buy my work, you get me? Not maybe literally, but buy it for Jesus so that he can have his way there. You know, when you own something, you can do what you want with it. And so if I own my workplace and if I buy my workplace for Jesus, then he can have his way there. If I buy like our young people for Jesus, then he can have his way in their life. You know, if the kids team, if they buy those kids for Jesus, then he can have their way. But then it takes us, you know, paying a cost, owning it, buying it, amen? Because we're buying the promise of God. And I think the field is about the heritage as well. You know, it's not about you or your life. It's about the heritage, what comes before you, what will come after you. And it's in Psalm 61, David's just crying out to God, and he says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you've heard my vows, O God, and given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Now, the heritage of God is a gift for you. It's not just something that, you know, you have to figure out, but he says, you know, fear my name and you'll be given this heritage. Has increased the days of the king's life, his years for many generations, that he may be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Now David thanks God for the heritage that he's received, and he prays for that heritage to continue his years for many generations. Not just like, you know, that he would have that heritage, but that it would go on. And if you look back in Joshua 21, Israel has just taken the promised land. And, you know, all the tribes, if you know it, have basically divvied up the land, like so every tribe got a spot. But the Levites, the priests, they didn't get like just one spot. They get towns all the way around through everywhere so that they could, you know, do the work of their ministry and be the priests for the people. And guess what town was given to the Benjamites, where the tribe that Jeremiah comes from? I think this is really cool. So it says, so that the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua 21, And they said, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasturelands for our livestock." So as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasturelands out of their own inheritance. Verse 17, "And from the tribe of Benjamin, they gave them Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon together with their pasturelands for towns." So Anathoth, this is the town where the field is. And this is Jeremiah's hometown. This is where he's from. Yeah, this is his family's town and his family's field. And right back in Joshua 21, his people, his tribe, his family are given this town and the pasture lands, the fields. Yeah, and so then when it comes into Jeremiah 32, his cousin is right, and his cousin says, you know, you have the right and the duty to buy this field. So buy it. And God says, buy the field. It's yours. You know, it's in verse 6 of Jeremiah 32. It says, "He'll come to you and he'll say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it." You know, Jeremiah's family owned that field, and this was a chance for him to redeem that heritage and pass it on. And I think that's what buying the field is about. You know, it's buying from heritage, and it's buying for heritage, not just for you, but for the future, for the whole community, that we would buy, like, heritage in Wollongong. Like, I'm talking about our physical church, but this is not just about the church. Like, that when we buy a building, it's about redeeming heritage for the kingdom of God and leaving heritage for the kingdom of God to continue in the future. And that's what God's saying in verse 39, when he just says that all will go well for them and for their children after them. In verse 40, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I'll never stop doing good for them." You know, we have an opportunity as we buy the field to buy into an everlasting covenant and to set up a heritage for our children and our children's children. Amen. And I don't think that's just about us or just about our church. That's about our whole community. And it's about taking some heritage and redeeming it. You know, every building that we would look at will have history. Every block of land will have history in Wollongong. But we will redeem that heritage and set it up for the kingdom of God. And maybe there's something else in your life. Like, I'm talking about, you know, building, because that's really, really an obvious illustration. But, you know, maybe there's a ministry area that you're involved in and you need to redeem the heritage. Maybe you need to buy in because you're going to set something up. You're going to get something from the past and you're going to set something up for the future. Amen. And that you're going to do that. And it's not just going to be for you, but it's going to be for the whole community. Amen. You know, I think it's our right and our duty. That's what God says to Jeremiah. He says, it's your right and it's your duty to buy this field. And I think that, you know, we are redeemed by God. And so we should redeem, you know, the fields that we're in. Yeah, and we should buy the city. Like, we should own all the city. We should own the whole city. Why not? Because it's our right and it's our duty to redeem this land. You know, that it wouldn't be a land that... I'm not just talking a physical land. I know, you know, we're all grown up here. We understand metaphor and all that. But that we would own the land, that in your workplace, in your, like, study, in your class, in your family life, that you would redeem the field, you would redeem the land, in your ministry. Like, I just feel like, you know, for kids and for youth and for women's and for community initiatives and for every ministry that we're involved in, that we would redeem the land. Because, you know, the land that we live in is, you know, it needs redeeming, and that we would do that. You know, I've been like thinking a bit about the Waylands this week, as I'm sure most people have, and just the incredible heritage that's there. But it's not just like, it's something that was redeemed, you know, something that was set up, it's something that was done, and the, like, people lived faithfully, and Dave lived faithfully and honored God and built a heritage for his children, and they built it for their children, and their children are building it for their children. And so Joel is, like, here receiving that heritage, and I know that he will build that heritage for his kids. And that is so incredible, and I love it so much. And, you know, God builds his kingdom with people who buy the field and who take ownership. People like the Waylands, you know, they're here early. This week, here early, setting up chairs, and, you know, that's incredible. You know, this is our, sorry guys, This is our Anathoth. That was Jeremiah's hometown. Wollongong's easy to say. This is our hometown, and it's our city. It's the place where God has planted us, you know. And when we take ownership of it, we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're not just building for ourselves. We're building for the future. You know, we make a way for those who will go after us. And so I guess like that's pretty much, you know, basically all that I've got tonight. But I just really felt like God wanted to say, you know, buy the field. I don't know what that is in your life. And there were things that he was speaking to me about. But like, let's buy the field, you know, the things that we need to take ownership of that maybe we're renting at the moment. I don't know. Or maybe we're sitting there and looking at and going, well, the time's not right for me to really get in and invest because circumstances don't look good. But God's saying, buy the field because I've got a promise. And if you will be faithful to me, then I'll be faithful to you. And I will fulfill that promise. And you will set up a heritage for your children and your children's children. And so let's buy the field, amen. I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for your presence here tonight. God, thank you that you've spoken to us and that you continue to speak to us. God, thank you for people who are faithful and want to build your house. And God, I just pray that you would just give us a new challenge to ownership and a new sense of ownership of your kingdom, God, and really show us the things that you want us to do, God, the fields that you want us to buy. God, that you just really speak clearly to us and that we just be obedient to what you speak. God, that like Jeremiah, we would know that because you said so, we will do it, no matter what it looks like, God. So I pray that you would just be really speaking to people right now. God, thank you for your love and your faithfulness towards us. And God, that you have established an everlasting covenant for us and that you never stop doing good to us. And God, we want to live in that and we want to walk in that confidently and we want to claim that over our city, claim that over our church, over our families, over our workplaces, over our schools, God. And we really want to take ownership so that you can have your way, God, in this place. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't know how we're going to play a song or something.